Good afternoon. It is 1:01 p.m. We are here today, January 25th, 2018, in the OPA hearing room, Suite 907 of the DNA building in Hagatna, Guam, for the motion hearing of OPAPA 17-010 CoreTech International Corp. versus the Department of Public Works. Presiding over the hearing today are hearing officer Anthony Camacho and public auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Yuka Hechinova and Jared Hernandez. Will appellant CoreTech please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good afternoon. Anita Ariola for the appellant, CoreTech International Corporation. I don't have any representatives with me today.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency DPW please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Assistant Attorney General Thomas Keeler, DPW's representative Andy Leon Guerrero is unfortunately on medical leave. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We may proceed.
All right. So we're basically here for the appellant's objections to the privilege log and the motion to compel. So without any further ado, Ms. Ariola, because that's your motion, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'm not going to repeat the arguments that I made in our original motion and our reply brief. I think that they are fairly well briefed. I do just want to touch on a couple of points. We now have received an updated and amended privilege log from DPW, but our response to that is that, number one, it's received a little bit too late and it's too little, because the original privilege log was not sufficient. It was, in fact, woefully deficient and inadequate. And the second reason is because many of the documents have already been produced by DPW in response to our Sunshine Act requests and also as part of the procurement record. So even if you take the latest privilege log that they filed, our argument is that the privilege has already been waived completely because they produced many of those documents. And I hope that you will take a look at my declaration filed in support of the motion, because I attach many emails that were produced to us in response to the Sunshine Act request and as part of the procurement record. And those emails show a great deal of communications between Mr. Keeler and his client, DPW, and Parsons Transportation Group, which revealed a great deal of attorney-client communication and advice. And for that reason, the privilege has been waived. And if you look at these documents, you can see that they're not just, you know, they're not just administrative issues. For example, they circulated the draft of the final demand letter to CoreTech to complete the project. They circulated the letter to the surety informing them that they had terminated the contract. They circulated responses to CoreTech's letters to them concerning many of the issues that are at issue in this appeal. And Mr. Keeler gave his advice in all of those emails. It's a little bit late to now be coming in and saying, oh, here's my privilege log. Those documents are now confidential when, number one, they were produced not once, not twice, but three times. And then secondly, when we introduced them and submitted them as part of our exhibits, they never wrote and said, oh, those are privileged, you can't use them. They never tried to claw back those documents as you might do under the rules. And so for those reasons, we believe that they've waived the privilege. The third reason is that many of those emails and communications occurred between Mr. Keeler and Parsons Transportation Group. Parsons Transportation Group is not his client. His client is DPW. They have alleged that Parsons Transportation Group is an agent of DPW, but there's no evidence to support this. They submitted the declaration of Michael Lanning, but nowhere in his declaration does he state that PTG acted as an agent for DPW and as nothing other than an independent contractor providing contractual services. And most important, if you take a look at the letters between Mr. Keeler and Parsons Transportation Group, they contain a lot of advice, they contain a lot of communications, but there's nothing in there to establish that PTG was an agent. I would expect, if they're going to make that argument, I would expect that they would produce the agreement between DPW and PTG to show us there was an agency agreement. I'm not a betting person, but I will bet you that that agreement says that PTG is not an agent and that they're an independent contractor, because most of those kinds of contracts with the government have that clause. And so for those reasons, there are numerous communications listed on the privilege log that occurred just between Mr. Keeler and Parsons Transportation Group. They are not privileged. They've cited some cases which stand for the proposition that a third party can be covered within the attorney-client privilege so long as that third party was hired for the purpose of advising or assisting in the advice of counsel. For example, tax accountants, auditors, other third parties that are hired for the express purpose of allowing the attorney to assist the client and provide the client with attorney-client advice. That didn't happen here. And we have no evidence to support that kind of an arrangement with PTG and DPW. Finally, we have asserted the reliance on advice of counsel. Defense waives the attorney-client privilege. We've briefed that issue, you know, extensively in our motion to disqualify. And just to press the hearing officer and the OPA today, we do need a decision on that motion. That affects not just our objections and our motion to produce these documents, but also really the entire progress of the hearing and how we're going to proceed. We've also submitted a request for issuance of a subpoena to Mr. Keeler and to Mr. Tom Sterling, and we're still awaiting that as well. I believe that Mr. Keeler filed a motion to continue the hearing in this case because Mr. Leon Guerrero suffered a heart attack, and he is their primary representative and witness. We have no objection to the motion for continuance of about 30 days, which is what they requested.
I was just going to ask you, when you said medical leave, what was the nature of the medical leave? If you could disclose it.
Yes, it's actually my declaration that was filed with my motion. I talked to Mr. Leon Guerrero this morning about a week and a half ago. He suffered two heart attacks. He had surgery this past Thursday, and he is on medical leave, I believe, for approximately 30 days. And not 30 days starting now, but from the event, and he is going off island next week for a referral to get a second opinion. I talked to him. He says he should be back within about 10 days or so, and that I reviewed with him what time frame that he thought he'd be able to return full time, and discuss specifically the week of February 26th, and he said that would be perfectly fine.
We'll consider that with a or consider your motion to continue. Okay, but going back to the reason we're here, because I know you are you finished, Ms. Ariel?
Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Keeler, you have your you have the floor for any opposition arguments you wish to make.
Okay, I'll be brief. The government has an obligation to produce as many documents as possible to only assert privileges to the documents that are limited to a limited extent, and that's essentially what we've done. The fact that additional documents or other documents may reference documents that are claimed as privileged does not mean that there is a waiver of the privilege. CoreTech waited approximately 2 months to object to the privilege log. DPW, within a day or two, provided an amended log that I believe satisfies the requirements. With regards to Parsons, Mr. Lanning's declaration states unequivocally that Parsons Transportation Group has one client and one client only, that is DPW. Their task is to assist them solely with regards to their projects. I would stipulate or note for the record that their contract formally does state that they're an independent contractor.
But you still assert the that advisor rule basically incorporates them into the attorney-client privilege between you and DPW?
Correct, since we're Yes. With regards to the advice of client, we simply disagree with that. We would note again that for me to be a necessary witness, there has to be other individuals that are not able to testify. And DPW has produced three different individuals that can testify. Finally, in the event that the OPA determines that communications with Parsons are not privileged, DPW and the Attorney General's office would request the opportunity to file a revised privilege log. And again, assuming there's ruling against or ordered to disclose the communications with Parsons, this log would be limited to communications between myself and my deputies and DPW only. My estimation is that would be less than 10 documents.
Did you have anything else, Mr. Keeler?
No.
Okay. Do you have any rebuttal arguments?
Just a few. Thank you. So I first want to address the argument that, you know, we complained too late. Let's make really clear what the timeline is here. At the very beginning of this appeal, DPW filed a privilege log. That privilege log seemed to indicate both for 10 and 09 because it had references to the Simon Sanchez High School procurement issue. And so that was a very limited privilege log. It had many communications related to the Simon Sanchez procurement appeal and not our appeal. Now, at a hearing on November 22nd, Mr. Camacho stated very clearly to DPW, file a complete procurement record on December 20th and file a complete and detailed privilege log. They did not. And that's when we filed our objections. Our objections make it pretty clear that almost as soon as we got the privilege log, within a week or so, I filed our objections and our motion to produce the documents because it was so clearly deficient. I mean, it didn't even have who the sender was of any of the communications. It didn't list what privilege was being asserted, whether it was attorney, client, attorney, work product, or anything else. And so because of that, we weren't too late. In fact, we were precisely on time. We filed just exactly when we should have. And then the next argument that they raised, now they've admitted to the OPA that, in fact, PTG is an independent contractor. Well, that is exactly the reverse of what an agent is. As an independent contractor, they're not a consultant. They're not an agent for the purpose of keeping all of DPW's privileges and communications secret or confidential. And more importantly, again, if you look at all of the emails that I attached to my declaration, many of them are the same ones that are in the privilege log. They've been waived. They produced them three times, and they've been waived.
Yeah, and I just wanted to confirm the attachments to your declarations are, in fact, stuff you received in the procurement record?
As I stated in my declaration, I received them in the procurement record, and I received them in response to two different Sunshine Act requests.
Okay, but the Sunshine Act requests are not at issue here. It's more the procurement.
True, that's true, except that the Sunshine Act requests were issued because of this case, because I wanted to get informal discovery. And, you know, if they didn't want to produce it or if they thought it was privileged, they should have withheld it. That's the whole essence of the attorney-client privilege. If you believe that something is privileged, you shouldn't produce it. So now we've received, you know, the procurement record, you know, from DPW. And might I also add, we also received them from the Attorney General's office when I sent another Sunshine Act request to them. I realize that they are different from the procurement record, but when you produce documents in the procurement record, you've waived the master privilege if you don't note them in your privilege log, or you don't try to call them back once you've seen that they've been produced. You know, and again, I can tell you that my initial exhibit list had one of these emails. It was filed on November 22nd. There was no attempt to claw back that document. There was no complaint that it shouldn't have been produced as an exhibit, and that was, months ago. And then finally, in terms of Mr. Keeler being a witness, so it's all good and well for them to argue that DPW will produce three witnesses, ostensibly two from PTG and one from DPW, who will say he advised us that, that it wasn't retaliation. In fact, he advised us that we should issue the notice of termination and default because of an issue concerning the surety bond. Well, that's all fine and well, but we don't have the opportunity to attack the credibility of these witnesses. We don't have the opportunity to ask Mr. Keeler, what was the basis of your advice? What facts did you receive concerning your advice? And all of that is fair game under the reliance on advice of counsel defense. And again, I would, request that the OPA issue a decision on this motion, as well as our motion to disqualify Mr. Keeler, so that we can then figure out whether we're actually going to trial on this hearing with or without Mr. Keeler, because that's an important part of our case. And it would affect, I believe, the exhibits and the witness list.
And then in terms of, I know you mentioned Mr. Keeler's motion to continue.
Yes.
Are you going to oppose that?
We don't oppose it. I mean,
not to say we would grant it, but I'm just...
When someone has a health issue like this, of course we're going to be mindful and aware of someone's health issues and conditions. We understand that he's, the primary representative of DPW now, and he's probably going to be a primary witness. So we don't object to a continuance of 30 days. And before I sit down, there is one other issue that I wanted to raise.
Sure.
So DPW has filed another supplement to the procurement record. Yeah. We received two additional CDs with, hundreds, if not thousands, of emails from PTG. These are internal communications from PTG. And as you know, you ordered DPW to produce a complete procurement record by December 20th. What this means is that we've now filed initial exhibit lists, initial witness lists, initial statement of issues, hearing briefs, and then we filed amended hearing briefs, amended witness lists, amended exhibit lists, amended list of issues based on the supplemental procurement that was previously produced. I now anticipate with this new supplement to the procurement record that we will have even more exhibits, more witnesses, more exhibits.
Mr. Keeler, did you file a copy of that supplement with the OPA?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Got it.
I just want to give notice that we will renew our motion for sanctions.
Do you have anything?
Yeah, with regards to the...
Not to the motion now, but to the...
supplemental documents.
The supplemental documents, the supplemental documents. Go ahead.
Parsons was directed to provide absolutely everything, including internal communications. I was aware, and the reason why I referenced that is I was aware that at times they communicate with off-island personnel, Parsons personnel that are in the States. When we received their supplemental documents in December, I believe it was, or maybe November, it also included privilege log, which I assumed contained any documents that they thought were privileged. When meeting with Parsons last week, I was reviewing some of the supplementals that had been filed that will be part of the hearing, David Yao had referenced a communication with a stateside individual, I believe, I can't remember his name. And I said, well, I just want to confirm that was contained in the supplemental information that we provided. The response was, no, it's privileged. I was dumbfounded. I had never been advised that they were retaining anything that they claimed to be privileged. And again, DPW had submitted one of their logs that we had asserting privilege. So I thought that was covered. I then contacted Parsons in-house counsel stateside. I've got his name in the documents. It's Mike Holloway. He's in Pasadena. And I told him about my meeting with Parsons on, you know, the prior Friday. I said I was rather surprised that, one, I wasn't advised that any confidential materials were being withheld or hadn't been disclosed, and two, that in my estimation, I didn't see where there was any type of privilege, because they're internal, not addressed to an attorney, not, you know, and they're relating to the project. Mr. Holloway stated there had to have been some type of miscommunication or misinterpretation, that he agreed they were not privileged documents, and that he would notify Parsons to immediately provide me the documents, which they did Wednesday of last week. So within a day, 2 days of having talked to Mr. Holloway, they were produced, and they were then filed with the OPA.
And that's the two CDs?
Yes. I think it's primarily one, but they couldn't quite get it all on two.
All right. So we'll review that with the renewed, continued motion for sanctions made today. Is there anything else between the parties?
No.
Miss Ariel, are you going to need additional time because to review the additional CDs?
Yes. Mr. Keeler had actually asked that for both sides, because apparently he hasn't reviewed them either.
Oh.
And so he had asked for additional time for both parties to review them.
Well, that's one thing. Let me ask this, because this is really the clincher for me, I guess. Was Mr. Leon Guerrero going to be one of your primary witnesses, Mr. Keeler? You're actually going to put him on the stand and let me just cast that question another way. How vital is he to your defense?
I think his testimony is vital with regards to the issue of retaliation.
Okay. So the answer is yes, he's vital.
Yes.
He's also vital to our case. We've listed him as a witness as well.
He's vital to your case as well, because he's the one that just obviously is not going to be here next week, or, you know, 2 weeks, okay, for
our hearing is on
the 5th. Yeah. let's say we continued it for 30 days.
We can't, because I'll be off island.
I'll be off island.
I'll be off island.
Our motion
so
requests
earliest,
that it be
okay,
continued to February 26th.
Is March 12th. No, because I have a couple other things as soon as I get back. I get back on the 6th, but I have a couple of things I have to prepare for. So the earliest we could meet, and I think given the time frame, we allow Mr. Leon Guerrero more time to rest and give all parties sufficient time to file their amended briefs. We don't want to bring him in too soon. So, because you said by the end of February, right?
Well, yeah, we had suggested the week of February 26th.
Yeah, so the earliest I can be is March 12th, because I come back, I'll be leaving on the 17th of February, and I don't return until the 6th of March. And I've got a couple of things that week that I need. I don't want, the earliest could be the 9th of
March.
March. but that's a Friday. I don't know if we want to start our weekend with a quartet. So.
I'm gonna have to go there because I know that I'm leaving Ireland briefly in March.
Oh, okay.
I want to say it was, I'm just taking the spring break. I'm taking the kids to Disneyland and Hong Kong. But,
when are you leaving then?
It's like mid-March. I got to double check.
Oh, we could start then as early as March 9th.
But I'll have to, okay. So what do you think, March 9th?
That's a Friday.
Okay.
I only have authority to continue up until February 26th. I need to get back to my client. I don't think it's going to be a problem, but I just don't have that authority to agree to that right now.
Well, I know, but what I think is it's obvious we're not going to continue.
I understand.
If he's vital to your case and your case, it's just not going to happen. Okay, so that's that's a determining factor. If you're saying he's vital, okay.
Okay.
If he's not, we could proceed.
If he's
not, but that's would you? That is an option. Would you proceed without him? And
it's not an option for us. But I do have to say, the other determining factor in this case is
decision.
The outcome of the motion to disqualify Mr. Keenan.
Well, I was planning on getting those out, but I'm just a little delayed. Okay.
That's fine. Right. I understand.
So, as to whether or not you would waive Mr. Leon Grove's presence?
No.
No? Okay. But that's up to you. I'm not going to make you go or proceed without him. I'm just saying that's an option. Okay, if you wanted to start earlier. It looks like March 9th for now. I'm just going to set as a tentative date. Okay? I know you don't have authority, Ms. Ariola, but... this isn't a stipulation.
Well, I understand.
If we can't proceed on February the 5th, we're going to have to find the earliest next date.
Sure.
That's reasonable. Okay, so it appears to be March 9th for now. All right. And I will set the...
How long do we expect this hearing to last?
They said 3 to 5 days.
It is really hard for me to know without looking at the last two CDs.
I think it will take at least a full week.
That's what I was going off of, the 5-day work week. Yeah, okay. Okay. So it's either, I have to look at my schedule just to make sure I'm there, but it'll either start March 9th or March 12th. We'll see. Okay, but those numbers are... Those dates are tentative at best. I will issue a notice here, but it will be around that period of time. Okay. And we will schedule 5 days for 5 work days at least for the for our planning purposes. Okay. And the motion continue filed by Mr. Keeler would hereby be granted.
Thank you.
I'll put that in writing. Any other issues other than those mentioned? Okay, we will issue those decisions well before.
Thank you very much.
Just for the record, I would have issued them already, but on March 7th, my father had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And then, it wasn't March 7th. He actually had his heart attack on March the 5th, or excuse me, January 5th. January 5th. And then he passed away on January the 7th. We just buried him last week, Monday. So I'm back in the office, so.
Understood.
If I don't appear, I'm not shaking up. He was 90, so this wasn't, entirely surprising, but it was just quite sudden for all of us. Okay, but I will get those decisions out now that I'm back in the office full time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
We're off the record at 1:30 p.m.